resurrects thy people, bears witness to them of the truth. But among the attributes of the blessings and grace and gift that you bestowed upon thy children is discernment, and that you are activating this conscious aspect of their relationship to the creation and those about them, that they might know thy word and they might know truth when they hear it. We are thankful, our Father, that we have arrived at this climactic age. We are to see the great achievements and developments which thy kingdom is to bring into the earth. We pray, our Father, that you shall cause us to understand the great and mighty power of truth and of knowledge which emerges from thee. Cause us to recognize our relationship to these events. Teach us, our Father, the value of being free from error. We thank thee, our Father, for all that you have wrought for us in atonement, for all that you have purposed for us in thy mighty plan. And grant that as we step into this great new age, that we shall understand what it is that makes it great and what thy purposes are for the earth. So we pray for the nations of thy kingdom, for the children of thy household, for the spiritual center of thy kingdom, thy church, now and that the unction of thy blessing descends from you upon them, and that we are in the greatest stage of human history. So we say, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, and we ask it. Amen. As we turn tonight to the subject of the knowledge of a new age, I think it is quite evident to all observers that we are standing in an hour of a great motion, that upon the face of the earth things are moving at higher speeds than ever before, that our knowledge and technology in the course of the last few decades has increased, and that we stand on vistas of human understanding that dwarf the concepts of our universe as we knew it yesterday into almost insignificant and small beginnings. For at this hour, we can study every phase of our natural sciences. The astronomer has added in the last decade 10 times the measurement to his universe that he had before. His universe to its perimeters of horizon are 10 times greater, and he's thinking in terms of limitless space with limitless planets and suns and moons and stars. The realm of the physicist, he has discovered greater power than he ever has wielded before in his conscious Earth history. We have joined our experimentation in all realms of chemistry and of physics to the taking of the units of things apart, and we have discovered the secrets of the universe, that the last 50 years have brought to fruition. Until today, you can say that the men of your race have a system of thinking which gives them a pattern of the smallest units of the solar system, the atom, its molecular masses, and the construction of substance. And you have watched in the pattern of the last 20 years the taking apart of the atom, the tremendous energy which it released, the great explosive powers in their hands. You have watched the developments of fuels and the patterns of combustion. You have moved into an age when men can create rockets with such thrust that they can place themselves out in space. You have watched the movement in your own time of objects circling the Earth, satellites which we have made, man-made asteroids with ability to even bring them back into our own orbit. All of these things have happened in the span of the last 2 decades. You watch an increasing knowledge in almost every field of scientific life. We have watched modifications in the fields of geology, which no longer reckon, as they did in the past, many of the things that relate to Earth. They now see that the Earth is standing out of great antiquity and of great age. And with it, the anthropologist has borne evidence that man as we know man, lived upon the earth 1,750,000 years ago, and thus your knowledge has increased here. No longer has the perimeters of idea remained where they were 20 years ago. The last 20 years has projected knowledge, human knowledge, farther than man ever anticipated it would go in such a period of time. It moved you so fast that it thrust you from one age into another, and you stand with one foot in an old age and another foot into a new age, because prophecy has brought you to the perimeter of new things and great things. Now, with all of this advance and all of this knowledge that you have witnessed, you would say the world must be a much better place to live in than it was 20 years ago, or that all of this knowledge has brought about greater understanding and greater safety, and people get along better together, but this does not seem to be the truth. For whereas we have learned more about the earth, and we understand more about its sciences, and we know how to take it apart better than we ever could take it apart before, bit by bit, that we can make more explosion taking it apart than we ever took anything apart with before. But all of these factors have not given us security, and it has not given us peace. Largely because there are things that men must know, and there's knowledge that must become a part of their thinking before the real new order can come in. We talk about knowledge for a new age, and it's not just nuclear knowledge. We can talk about knowledge for a new age, and it's not just the procedures of transportation. Because even now, transportation is stepping up its speed, and in your time, you're going to cross in an hour from one side of the continent to another. There's going to be nothing to make a trip from here to Europe in a matter of 2 hours. That's just as sure ahead in the speed with which we are moving in transportation, but that isn't the thing that brings in a new age. We have discovered that there are many of these processes of science that are all related to it, to the discoveries of your race and also to the age which is ahead. But I can assure you this, that at this very moment, because of not understanding the necessary knowledge of God's kingdom, that all that has happened in the earth with the new wisdom and the new knowledge and the new understanding is greater danger, greater gravity, and the world in greater fear tonight than they were before. You know, 50 years ago, they were not very much worried about a nation on the other side of the earth being able to devastate their city the next 24 hours or maybe in the next few hours. Men did not worry when they talked about war that it could be brought to much fruition if it was from one continent to another without many weeks and tremendous preparation, and they would surely hear or know something about it. They were not nearly so worried even after telegraph had come in and we had a cable under the ocean that could bring us the news of the rest of the world. This was to their advantage because they knew ahead of time what was going on in the distant place. But in your time, you will watch the shortening of the areas of distance by the speed with which we can move great devastation through the projectiles, the nuclear discoveries, and the things which have come into being at our time. So these discoveries and this knowledge has caused tonight great fear on the face of the earth. Gathered together tonight in Yugoslavia is on a great number of nations which are referred to as the uncommitted nations. Now you say, well, what do you think about an uncommitted nation? I think an uncommitted nation is about as useless as far as anything constructive as a nation can be, whether it be large or small. An uncommitted nation is much like a lukewarm glass of water. God has unveiled his opinions of something that's neither hot nor cold and said he would spew it out of his mouth. But today there are numbers of uncommitted nations. They run the panorama of Asiatic countries from India to the tribes of the Congo and of Africa, which today call themselves uncommitted nations. I wouldn't deign to give many of these countries the qualification of a nation, but President Eisenhower and a lot of the silly advisors around him did, and they took into the United Nations a group of cannibal tribes that are not prepared for recognition as nations among men. In fact, tomorrow morning in your newspaper, whether it be a Times or Examiner, you're going to see that some of the Baluba tribesmen of the Congo took a couple of English soldiers and ate them just recently and threw their jeep in the lake. These are, of course, statesmen of the Congolese countries, and these are the people you're admitting to equality as nations with you. Well, of course, men like Eisenhower know more about their background than I do, and they probably know what is in their minds more equal to their status than most of us. But I want you to know that we have been endangered by this type of thinking until today. We have a whole status of the world in turmoil and upheaval, and the whole problem before us is based on a lack of knowledge. You know, men can be destroyed for a lack of knowledge. This is certainly true in the logistical field when we deal with armed forces and might and strength and manpower. And when we underestimate an enemy or when we do not prepare, and a lack of knowledge concerning our enemy and his capacities can be a very devastating thing. A lack of knowledge is one of the most dangerous things a state can face. I think whenever a state operates on false knowledge, this is especially true concerning its internal condition. And this is the problem which America has faced in over the last 35 to 40 years, the great degeneration in the status of liberties and independence and blessing which your nation has entered into and felt through the processing of the last 35 years has been definitely a result of a great lack of knowledge. A knowledge which doesn't fit an old order, a knowledge which is the knowledge of a revolution in a world order and is not the knowledge of a new age necessary to bring in that new age according to God's blueprint. So it becomes your responsibility to understand the great values of truth. Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Now those that understand the real story of God's kingdom, those that understand the real message of race and of origin, are in possession of some of the most important facts for the era that is just ahead. I want you to realize that with all of the things men are putting their minds to, many of these things are waves of inspiration as it relates to the future. Some of these things are constructive and good. There are purposes which God's Word unveils, and these things are going to be brought to pass because God will add enough energy of spirit and enough energy of the knowledge of conscious purpose, as well as the forces to pour into this developing cauldron of events to bring out the result. Now, you and I are instruments in God's hands. We are His children, His household, His ambassadors. We are His race, His family, and His kingdom. Now, it's important that you understand that. No greater capacity will affect the earth than this concept of taking on the processes of the world. No greater danger when we take on the processes of their thinking concerning the organization of men and the place they're going to live in, or the way they're going to live, or how they're going to live. That's one of the reasons why when from Chicago University they repudiated the policies of their social and political scientists and economists and instructors, and cited that they are basing their ideas on a false premise, and because of that they have brought catastrophe and will bring catastrophe upon this age. Now when the anatomists, the physicists, and the anthropologists in Chicago University oppose the institutions and foundations and the pseudoscientists because they have based their ideas on racial equality and upon the capacities of all races to have the same mental and spiritual output when they don't, and they have thus instituted a design to give them equal opportunity, and they have first started out to say that they should be employed in all kinds of employment according to their numbers on a percentage basis. And on this basis, a great number of sociological revolutionists have actually moved into our positions of government and have sought to put as many people by percentage-wise as they thought they should place into the positions of government. That's one of the reasons why today that we have a great number of Negro appointees that are being moved into positions of responsibility, and they are being placed in Washington offices, in departments, and in agencies of government. They're being pushed in state positions by your governor, who hasn't too much intelligence in these things, and you're watching the same thing being done in your city. The power and the pressure of a revolution is bringing this upon the politicians, and I tell you, any politician in your city that goes along with integration of your fire department, your police department, or your city way of life should be swept out of office by the people and never put back again.
Person said to me the other day, "Dr. Swift, are you against the Negroes?" "No," I said, "I'm not against the Negroes. I'm against these people who have gotten out of their place and are moving into areas they do not have the capacity to fulfill and are thus hindering and injuring God's kingdom. I am against these Mau Mau forces which under Muhammad X turned Negroes into niggers and make them hard to survive with." Someone says someone will get insulted. Well, I'm not worried about whether anybody's insulted. I'm only interested about the truth tonight. I'm going to tell you that one of the most important things we need in America is a reawakening to the knowledge of God, His plan, and His purpose. This is the knowledge of a new age. I can stand with you and appreciate the developing technology of our society. And we find ourselves thrilled when we are looking at a television screen and seeing a man traveling out into space and successfully coming back and walking around. And you know the whole team accomplished another accomplishment that moves in some direction which is related to our destiny. We are well aware that there are many things. I have been greatly amazed, and I am mightily interested in some great medical experiments that some medical scientists are now engaged in. They're on the right track. And as I have talked with them, and they have taught the concepts in form of spirit and soul and body as we see it, and they in turn have been finding their experiments supporting the processes of established truth, and their processes have incorporated the use of experts in photography, and it's incorporating whole fields of kindred science, and they are beginning to study every process of everything that's related to life and occupation of the body and how we stay in it and all the things that relate to it. And I am utterly and continually amazed, both in the fields of advanced microscopy as well as in their concepts of basic laws of life. I think maybe some of these accomplishments are far more important than putting a man on the moon, because a man on the moon might not be nearly as important to you as a conquest over the things that destroy the body and ways of synthesizing life back in it in the formulas of their discovery. And I am also convinced that no man that is not in harmony with his Creator and does not recognize Him and the guidance of His Spirit and the vision of His power will ever make a great contribution, either in the medical field or in any other field of science, to your race that will prove of lasting value or prove to be not based on false theory. So it is that I am anticipating, as I watch the work of some of these who have caught the vision, and because they catch it, work towards the processes which are before us. We can tell you some things about the New Age, and so it has been declared in the Scriptures many things relating to it. The first place, a New Age on the earth, and what do we mean by a New Age? We mean an era where it's going to be governed differently, it's going to operate differently, and all era and all processes of transgression, mistake, and tyranny are going to be swept from the face of the earth. Now, it's going to take knowledge to do that. When we say you have one foot in one age and one in the other, certain amounts of these laws are basically dependent upon the application of spiritual law and spiritual energy. The first thing that you must understand, if you're going to know anything about the new order on the face of the earth, is that the Adamic race, the white race, the children of God, the household of the Most High, which Jesus said came in from the heavens and can go back into them, which He says are the children of His household, and they belong to His great personage as the Father, and they belong to Him as Messiah in the earth. Thine they were in the heavens, mine they are in the earth. He said that this white race is a master race. Hear this now. The white race is a master race. It is a divinely conceived race. It possesses the spiritual seed of God's sons and is the only race with a divinely accepted capacity to rule the earth under divine law and administer to it according to divine standards. Now, if you don't understand that, you don't know the knowledge of a new order, and anything that you might contribute in the way of error doesn't build it up, it pushes it backwards. Now, I'm going to tell you this, that God has not only laid a timetable, which we're not necessarily going to talk about tonight as a timetable, but we're going to talk about events that will fit into it. He's laid a timetable which has been already set in the area of His universal administration, and you happen to be moving by world events indications very close to the operations of phases of that timetable that bring you into the New Age. In that New Age, there are many things that are going to happen, and we discussed one this afternoon. One of the most important new developments of that new age is mortal putting on immortality, or the white race putting aside death. Someone said, you think that that's going to really come to pass? It's not only going to come to pass. God's already ordained it, and we told you one of the elements in His timetable is going to come by His own measure, and He's going to see that His chief archangel sounds a blast on a trumpet that shall be the best music you've ever heard move around the world. And when that transpires, He Himself shall, in majesty and power, make His presence revealed in the earth. Now, that's only one thing. That means the end of death. That means mortal puts on immortality. That means in one moment, in the speed of light, in the speed of electricity, in the speed of God's determined principle, every atom of your being will be changed, and the glowing aura of light that will emanate from the speeded up electrons will make you glow and radiant with a glory that belongs to His own nature. And He said, that's the end of death. You won't die. It won't make any difference whether the enemy doesn't like it or not. You won't die. You know one of the things that will happen that day? One of the first things in New Order. The greatest attempt to get out of America you ever saw will take place. There are going to be more people trying to get a ticket or trying to get out or find a place to hide than you ever saw. Talk about bomb shelters. When this country lights up with the glory of God resting on the children of the Most High because He ordained it, they're not going to stay in any country where you are if they can help it, because they can't stand the light. Suppose I tell you that a knowledge of a new order does not release you from carrying out all of the instructions of God to resist the darkness until it comes in. So what do you mean? Well, you work at the nighttime just like it was nighttime till the morning comes. It's your responsibility in every phase of life to apply all that you know to accomplish the development of God's kingdom to the best of your ability. You say, what does this mean? This means that when you know that you are the children of God, that you were born of His Spirit, that you've come into the race through the Adamic race, into the earth, that you're growing up and developing, and now your sin is off your shoulders, and you're free by the atonement of Christ, and the ignorance that is even covered ecclesiasticism and church history is gone, and you're coming into an age of knowledge and truth, and you're not bound by these things, then you should start to live by the law you understand, law for a new age even now. And that means you should start to tell and illuminate every conscious news you can concerning the facts. You ought to kind of get together and plan for it. Someone said, what do you think we should do in our community? Take over the PTA, for instance. That's right. There's enough of you, take it over. Just start taking it over. Do you know what we've had happen in our country for a long time? We've had all the enemies of the world order move in here and take it over. Now, the majority of your people really never felt about all these racial problems and conditions like today they tell you have to think. You never operated in the field of this era until they got up and talked and talked and talked and talked and told you and told you. And then because they had their powers of influence and they bought communication systems and made this the area of their design, you know, great numbers of our race never concentrated on trying to capture the means of communication. They didn't know this was a warfare. But this is a warfare between the enemy and the children of God's kingdom. And therefore, they want to retain an old order, but they want that old order completely enveloped in their ability to control it by destroying you, the children of the new. Oh, you say, well, but then we've been here for 7,500 years. Well, that isn't too long when you start to deal with history that runs back 1,750,000, you know. When we say, yes, we've been here 7,500 years, and we have in the last 25 years, we've become wide awake. Wide awake in many fields of science and knowledge, but 150 years ago, we were more awake concerning the necessity of retaining our separatism from the areas that we were sent to administer. Let me tell you this, that you're going to have to discover now the laws of the kingdom and synthesize this knowledge, bring it in, work it in, use it for the accomplishment of your objectives. If you don't have objectives in your mind, if the people of your race don't have these things fitted into their consciousness as objectives, they'll never carry them out. They will never go forward to accomplish something they haven't set as an objective. That's one of the reasons why we feel that the mass communication program is valuable. That's why mass tape messages are valuable. That's why reaching people across the nation are valuable, because as you erect in their minds similar objectives with God's purpose and get them to press forward for these objectives, you'll find how easy it is. I can remember, and so you can, how the liberals start to take over our PTAs and our town meetings and our political gatherings. They didn't have to have many. They just had one spotted in the front and one in the back and one on each side and one in the middle. And they just made it look like the whole group was all for it. And one way it moves in here and one seconded it. Another over here put it to a vote. And then they all hollered louder than anybody else before they knew what was going on. And you saw the diamond plan come in. That's the way they were. Well, now it's time, because you are the natural majority, that you plan to change things, and let's move in and occupy. Let's give them thoughts which are consistent with the majority. It doesn't make any difference if 5 or 6 or 10 there don't like it. We can dispense with the 5 or the 10. There's more of us. Because that 5 or 10 moved in while you slept. And you never knew what was coming 30 years ago, 20 years ago, 15 years ago, until it descended upon you with great speed. Everybody was busy with the war, and everybody was busy with various problems, and little did they realize how fast and how far-reaching went this voice that started to speak for America. It speaks today in methods of communication. It speaks today through every avenue of your life, and it speaks era. We have cited and cite again to you that your soul is totally made up of the things you know and have experienced and think. You have to feed your soul like you feed your body. And the most important thing is that you give it something you can digest. There isn't any doubt that great strides are being made in this physical field. One of the things that this group of medical scientists and doctors have now discovered, and they have long known, that the body is made up of what it eats, and they're vitally concerned concerning that proper life and proper food be fed to the body. Now, we're not a food faddist and a health faddist, but we are mighty interested in eating, because so are you. It is important that you eat to stay here, and it's important that you eat the right foods if you want to have strength and health. But suppose I tell you that medical scientists know that somewhere the food has been devitalized and there is food filled with life. And they're hunting it and they're preparing for it. They have discovered the great strength in embryonic fluids. They have discovered it in eggs, as Alexis Cattle did, and others. And they have discovered that when they take out these life forces of substance and apply them to the food of individuals, the food that can be synthesized in proper relationship, the result is vitality and life and reactivity and rejuvenation. They are discovering more about enzymes than they've ever known before and how to separate those that are vital to the body and those that are not. This isn't just a matter of simple biochemistry, but this has been a matter of deep study of anatomy and patterns of it and areas of it that break down. And along with the hypertensions and the fears which a guilt complex or a lack of spiritual knowledge gives man, they have discovered that it is a lack of proper food or food without the vital substances the body needs. It doesn't make any difference, my friends, whether you ever ate that kind of food before. It doesn't make any difference whether in your lifetime some of the things which they are now finding have been eaten before. It's just evident that if it's something you don't have, and if it's put into you, it's good, then that's food, and a lot of things you may eat may have no nourishment, life, or vitality at all. So a new age discovers new things, and one of the things I note is that the great contributing medical scientists of our time, regardless of the field with which they are employed, are trying to increase life. Now that's in keeping with the new age, isn't it? It's in keeping with what the scripture says. For they, in a physical dimension, are trying to, by seeing that the body gets the foods that make it live, are trying to give immortality to the body as far as they're capable of doing it. In fact, I happen to know that several of these doctors are thoroughly convinced, with the things already at their fingertips, that barring any accident that might occur to them, that they can stay just as long as they want to, and they can keep their body strong and filled with life just as long as they are capable of doing it. The only thing they think that could break now the continuity of what they have discovered would actually be an accident over which they might have no control. Now let me tell you this, that within just a matter of a few months' time, the knowledge of their science and of their achievement and of its results will be becoming more and more prevalent among mankind until it shall be available for the great majority of peoples in your race to return in life and vitality by the mere process of eating good and proper and right things, plus the added and developed sources of life power out of life. Someone says to me, I don't think we should engage in that. Well, why eat at all? Someone said to me the other day, I don't think, Dr. Swift, we should take anything or eat anything that somebody prescribes for any kind of an ailment or for life or strength, and I don't think we should take vitamins or don't think we do any of these things. Well, all right, you don't have to eat if you don't want to. You can just sit down and die. All you eat for, unless it's just for the taste factor, the thing you eat for is for nourishment and life. And when men discover the secrets of it and the rebuilding powers of it and the factors that are involved in it, and you turn your back on that knowledge, then you die for a lack of knowledge. Someone said, well, suppose it don't work. Well, look at all the things you've already eaten that didn't work. You have to admit that we've been eating everything from turnip greens to potatoes throughout the years, and we're still dying as a race, see? So we didn't say that you couldn't eat those things, but if there's something that will provide life, you better discover it. I tell you, one of the knowledges of the new age is food that will have greater vitality than has ever been made available for the peoples of the kingdom of God before. I don't think it'll be made available to the Hottentots, because the Hottentots can't afford to buy it, and they'll never enter into the process of producing it. And I don't think we're going to have Kennedy too long, or he'd raise billions of dollars and give it to them at your expense. Our problem today isn't to see how long the Hottentots can be prolonged in life. Our responsibility is to keep the Hottentots from eating up the white man. Now, I only mention this factor as it relates to the laws of life. I just want you to know that you're in an hour when the knowledge of a new age is going to roll back physically, organically, by natural, synthetic, and biological processes. They're going to roll back the advancing age, and they're going to conquer and prolong life indefinitely in the hour that you're alive in. But I'm going to tell you why it doesn't have to work long. By the same process, what men are working at with their vision in this field is in conjunction with a great and mighty purpose of the Spirit anyhow. For the hour is soon upon you in the history of the world and the universe round about, in which you're going to see there will be no more tears, because there will be no more sorrow, and there's not going to be any more death. Someone says, unless an accident. No, there's not going to be any accidents that will take away your life. No one in the household of the Most High will know death in this new age which we're moving into, because just as we may say we have discovered the secret that will place life in every gland and in all tissue and activate all the processes of the body. It's not too hard. As we've said before, you're rebuilding your body every 7 years. Why not build it with vitality? It could be done. Now the Spirit of God, which is the source of life, will quicken every atom of your body, and the law, the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, is going to live in you. Someone says, well, what's that got to do with the world we live in? Because you're going down and you're going to vote for the right candidates, you're going to elect Christians to office, you're going to occupy the earth, you're going to squeeze out the enemy, you're going to take over your land, you're going to live just as realistically with spiritual power without any defeat as you have lived with defeat in the same world. You know, we've got a lot of people that think when we start talking about spiritual things, we mean that they're all ready to go into another plane and that's where they'll do their work. It's going to be in this plane that you're going to finish the task that God set you to do. So let this knowledge fill your mind. Someone said, I'd just like to go somewhere and rest. Well, if you're so tired, you better get some good vital food again. And you better get some spiritual life. Because after all, it isn't to go somewhere and rest that we are here. It's to build a kingdom. You know, if you had greater spiritual power and greater physical power, you wouldn't get tired, you wouldn't want to rest. I'll tell you a little secret. The people that work the hardest at it need the least rest and have the most vitality. You'll find that. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk and not faint. Now I want you to realize that your thinking processes are vitally important to God's kingdom. They catalyze great spiritual power. They move as an order of light that unite the minds of the people in a congregation or in a faith and in a city, in a nation. You not only have a correct vision and a correct position on this, but every time as your ear picks up the news, whether it relates to the United Nations or some other strategy of the world government in which you do not belong, there must be this constant resistance in your nature, this constant scene of that institution dissolved in your society. They talked the other day about taking down the United Nations and moving it over into Europe, maybe putting it in Berlin or someplace like that. Well, I don't want to wish this on the German people, but I wish they'd take it down and move it anywhere. I can see that thing gone and that glass monstrosity taken down. I don't think we even want to leave the glass there, really, because it's just a monument to such catastrophic era that we don't want to be reminded of it. But you must see America free. I listened to the prophets of doom get up and tell us it's all over. I listened to one person who's on our side, and he said, we've reached the very climax. We're about to be engulfed. All we can do is stand and say, God, take us out of the world. I've got a different story. Before I say, God, take us out of the world, I'm going to say, God, send Michael and come on in and help us clean it up. Now, I got some news for you. Did you know that every American, British, and German soldier killed in World War II is going to stand on his feet? You know, that's going to scare more Jews in Europe than ever had dreamed that they had a scaring day coming. Did you ever stop and realize what that's going to mean to all these people that thought they had bombed and destroyed and ruined a great part of the heart of our Christian civilization? Going to stand on their feet. You know, they talk about not liking the swastika, but if every soldier of Christendom were to stand on his feet and he were to put the cross of Christ on his shoulder and on his armband, they'd cry out just with as much fear, and they'd want that removed too. You know, they're working harder to get the cross of Jesus Christ out of the vision of the peoples of your race than ever before. They took them off of all the graves in our cemeteries in the Hawaiian Islands because there wasn't very many Jew crosses. They're trying to take them out of all of our national cemeteries. They don't want an identification of our faith. But let me tell you that in this hour, which is just ahead, if there's any one sign our enemy doesn't like and it's related to Christ and to our civilization, let's lift it up and let's let them see it wherever they go until if they get tired of it, they can leave. America must learn the ideas of a new order. We're on the route. I listened on several nights and various occasions when we had part-time or some time, even after one service, to remnants of this school of anti-communism. While I don't have respect for the Australian instructor because of his background, I will say that here are a lot of people that are half awake already. These people are Christians all over, and the one good thing is they keep constantly talking about Jesus Christ, and as long as you put Jesus Christ in the forefront of fighting communism, sooner or later, awakening people are going to realize that the forces of Antichrist are allied with the enemies of Jesus Christ, and they are going to wake up. I happen to know that across the nation everywhere, they are already waking up, and the more we hear pressure and attack and anti-Semitism cried out, the more awakening white Christian society is responding to vital truth. When we talk about the knowledge of a new order, it must also bring to your realization that God has promised you that as far as your faith is concerned, you may lay claim tonight on immortality and life. We're going to talk to you about that next Sunday afternoon, about applying the law of the Spirit of life. But I want you to know that you're free, that you can roll back with refusal the processes of destruction, just as you roll back superstition with the truth which God makes known to you. You know, we have an idea that a lot of things which are in the purpose of God, but which we haven't yet fully worked into our consciousness as such, are impossible because they're just too hard. Now let's look at the state of California. I realize here that we have great problems. We got highly organized units of minorities. But I happen to know, and so do you, that if all the Jews in California were to vote together, that if all the Negroes in California were to vote with them, and then if all the minorities that are added in that are non-white and Christian were to vote with them, that they couldn't elect the governor if the rest of us voted for a Christian that we wanted. Now, I want you to realize this because it relates to this order. It's not just a local problem, it's a national problem. We have too many people today that for temporary political power are wooing elements who do not think in coordination with the program of God's kingdom in the new day, and they think they have to gain or secure their support in order to make an election. It must be clear that any victory for God's kingdom must not cure one hoop about what any of the enemies of God's kingdom think. It must lay the line clear and gather the only majority that can elect anybody.
Someone said, well, it just isn't going to be done that way. It's too hard. You're already licking yourself. Anytime somebody tells me the obstacles are too big, it can't be done, or you start talking about a new order in which we're going to get out of the United Nations and we white Christian nations are going to put the world in order. When the Holocaust of the hordes of communism come, we're going to smash them with nuclear weapons, flying missiles, atom bombs. And when their hordes gather the infamous forces of the pit, we're going to bring in the angelic hosts and our kinsmen and defeat them. But defeat them we will, though the sky be filled with flying craft. We're going to do it. When it comes to earth, we're going to win elections. You say, how? Because God is going to crystallize around the faith and the courage of individuals, that challenge that moves out to your race, because the line's got to be cut clear. We have to have candidates that get up and let the whole state know that we're predicating this election on winning the vote of the white Christian mass. Now, if you're a white Christian, wake up.
Do you want a white Christian government? Do you want that kind of government? Then this is the way you're going to have to go. We don't care if all the hordes of the enemy go vote for Brown or Mosque or somebody like that. I want you to know the hour must come when we, the Christian mass, must instruct the President of the United States. When our representatives in Congress and our senators must recognize this Christian mass, must know they are a part of it, must do their will. And when the President does not do it, then that Christian mass must determine very quickly whether they're going to leave him there or remove him and impeach him and put in somebody that will. You say it can't be done, and then that's what whips you. Every unaccomplished victory, which we have the legal processes under our Constitution to accomplish, has been whipped by people that whipped themselves in their armchair when they said it couldn't be done. We've already had indictments for impeaching officers and presidents for what they should have done. The violation of the Posse Comitatus Act, which was a felony under the very signature of the President who violated it. And we should have impeached General Eisenhower on the grounds of his violation of our Constitution and of the treaties and of the agreements and of the very laws which he signed. We took that to Washington ourselves and put it in the hands of congressmen and senators. And they said, we would like to see this done. The Congress said we'd like to impeach him. The Senate would like to, a lot of them hear this thing, but they said it can't be done. They won't go along with it. So how do they know? You know, about every congressman I talked to, of course, I didn't talk to fellows like Jimmy Roosevelt and Seller. I wouldn't waste my time on them. But you know, every normal conservative and even some liberal congressman, when faced with the fact that here's something right in front of you, which is a violation of law, and this is your prescribed duty, and this is what you're supposed to do, and they all agree, that's right, and that's right, and that's right. I do it, but they won't go along with me. Who won't? Every other person that I talked to that thought like they did. You know the most dangerous thing we have today? It's a negative fear complex that Satan has, by the medias of his public opinion, put on our brains. That's why it says, he that saves a soul is wise and covers a whole multitude of transgression and error. Know what it's talking about? It isn't talking about your eternal spirit. Nobody ever lost that anyhow. Lots of people think a lost soul is somebody who has just gone down into some imaginary pit. Nobody ever was lost when he was dead. He's only lost while he's all mixed up. The soul, when it dies, or when its body dies, the soul in its celestial being returns to God who gave it. Unless it's a Negro, and then he stays there for the second resurrection. And if he's a Chinaman, he has to follow his own route until the day comes for his deliverance. I'm talking about you, your race. Now, therefore, when we talk about a soul that's mixed up, it's when they turn on the boob tube every day and they're told about the power of UN and it's the man's last great hope. That's the trouble with Dr. Schwartz. He right now has to go along. He's got so many patriots in his school that he don't dare speak out. But I heard him oppose anything that was anti-United Nations and call it man's last great hope. Now his Atlanta communist friends around here are already alerted to the fact that that's the greatest menace of the communist stooge program, and he doesn't dare oppose it. Well, that's all right, when they even have to recognize. You see what I mean again? When the majority starts to wake up, even the ones on the sidelines that have been trying to exploit them have to go with them. The last great hope. Because God's determined it's going to be a result, a final result, is the kingdom of God in power. Someone said, yes, great war's ahead. Yeah, there's great war ahead. Sure, there's a great war ahead. Bible tells you there's a great war ahead. And if it says there's a great war ahead, all the politicians on earth can't stop it. And you know what makes the last great war essential? It's when the people of God fold in with an enemy. When right is obscured by error. And when you turn on your television, your radio, and they start telling you about all of the necessity of surrendering your independence and not being so positive about your faith in God and being willing to fold everything together and let all of these anti-Christian and non-sons of the Most High rule the world. Anytime you listen to propaganda, whether you get it in church or whether you got it in the school or whether it's put out to you in the newspaper that says that we've got to share the world and its administration with the enemy, or that we've got to share it with people that haven't the intellectual and spiritual ability to do it, don't you give that room in your mind for one moment. Just repudiate the thing as propaganda and start counteracting it with truth. The scripture tells us that in the last days, knowledge would increase and people would be running to and fro upon the earth. They're going back and forth pretty fast. You never saw them traveling back and forth across the country and traveling more than they are now. People were traveling. People were moving. Things are in motion. That's why things have speeded up at this time. Things happen faster now in 1 week than used to take place in a year. And because of that, the kingdom of God and the children of the kingdom better get in high gear. I listened to a bunch of people. They were in a kind of a camp meeting and they were singing, "Give us the old time religion." They were just singing back and forth, "Old time religion." They were about asleep. They didn't know anything about the world. They didn't know anything about the UN. They didn't know anything about what Russia was up to. They didn't even want to read the newspaper because it might be worldly. "Just give me the old time religion. The old time religion." Someone said, "That's good enough for me. That's what we need up here in 1961. I tell you, it isn't an old-time religion you want in 1961. It's a great streamlined power of God religion for 1961 that's going to whip the enemy and move with the same speed everything else is moving with. First thing we'll streamline is the fear and the superstition out of it. And we're going to bring back into it the great cognition of sonship and of might and of power and the great surging life that's down inside of you that God challenges. Someone said we've got to synthesize into it our peace. We've got to talk disarmament. We've got to eliminate military power. Let me tell you, my friends, the great streamlined faith of your hour calls for the sons of the kingdom to be ready to defend it. What we need is great generals like MacArthur and like men like General Walker and men like Patton was. These are the kind of men we need to rise up in America with vision, with patriotism, and with challenge, and with the knowledge of who this race is and its destiny. There are a lot of people that may disagree tonight with German ideologies before World War II. It may be a matter of semantics and of understanding, but I wish we had some generals that believed in the destiny of their race under God and would instill in the young men of our armies that we are a race chosen of God with a master destiny, and every German and every Anglo-Saxon on the face of the earth and every one of the Scandinavian peoples are essential to the survival of our race. I'm going to tell you, if we start preaching in our colleges and our schools and spreading over the nation the great truth that relates to race and destiny, and we would get out the bands and we would start marching to the music of a great new day, I'll tell you, your youth would straighten up and their design to accomplish this destiny would be a thrilling aspect to them, and juvenile delinquency would disappear within a matter of a few days. Someone said we don't believe in the principles of a marching nation. Let me tell you, you better believe in the principles of a marching nation until you've conquered evil. Because evil is believing in the principles of a marching nation and intend to liquidate and reduce you tonight to slavery. I heard something tonight that shows you the processes of evil didn't make your newspapers, did it? Did you know the East Germans rolled forth some gas against the peoples in Western Berlin? And as it rolled up to the border, the wind shifted and blew it back on the East Germans? Why didn't they talk about that? Let me tell you something. When you stop the gas at the border,
and you roll it back where it came from, those things are acts of God.
I wish they'd rolled forth all the gas they had in their hopper and it all rolled back together. The only thing is that I would like to see them started at the Russian line. Because I'm going to tell you that the ideas and the spirit of this new order is going to move in East Germany as it does in West Germany. You know, already ideas concerning the new day are beginning to awaken. You want to separate the men from the boys. You want to separate the true fighters for liberty and the phonies. Then when you hear that there's news of rumbles in East Germany, when you see people wanting to escape to West Germany to get out from under the communists, when you see them underground gathering to overthrow, when they would rise up if they get any help, then, my friends, when you hear government leaders and others saying, we're worried about this, we want them to stay calm, we don't want them to upset things, those are the boys. Because the men of God and the men of vision would say, give us the day when East Germany rises and West Germany can join it in overthrowing communism and we'll roll in and help them.
There's an election coming up in a few days over there. This is my opinion that if Brandt wins the election, there's liable to be a reneging of Germany. I'm going to tell you that I have friends who are of the opinion that Germany's already sold out and is all gone. I haven't any doubt that as far as the advisors around Kennedy are concerned, that they would sell him out and probably already have made some commitments. I just can't tell you what happened when Mr. Kennedy talked to Mr. Khrushchev the last time he met him, but ever since he met him, things have not been going very good for us. But I'm going to tell you this, and you can take this home and remember it.
Germany is not done. And a few politicians are not going to sell it into the hands of the Asiatics. Anglo-Saxonism, Britain, and America are not done. We're going to rise up and we're going to overwhelm the strangers in our midst.
I tell you what I think. I think the great crystallization of Christian strength with the mighty armies of God are going to throw back the powers inside of Europe in the very near future, and the great vision of God's plan. You know, the ideas of a new order are in the mind of God already. The blueprint tells us about it here. Too long, the church goes around and says, we're going to die pretty soon. We've got to get ready to die. The Antichrist is going to take over the world. We've got to get ready to be martyrs. Or else we've got to say, Lord, get us out of here before we're licked. Now, how do you win the world with that kind of a program? When my father said, I'm going to give you the heathen for thy inheritance, the uttermost part of the earth for thy possession. And then I turn and I see that God gives the challenge and the saints of the Most High God are going to take the kingdom and they're going to possess the kingdom forever and ever. And I see that God said, I'm going to give my sons power and I'm going to manifest my sons in the last days with power. We're going to conquer death. We're going to conquer fear. We're going to drive all the communists from power. We're going to smash everything that Moscow and Populist controls. We're going to sweep away the power of Africa and Asia. And we're going to set up the sign of God's kingdom in the nations thereof. And I believe every word of it. And as long as we accepted this groveling fear, we were bound to defeat. The moment we catch this vision of the triumphant kingdom, we go out and take it. You know that in the decades that have just closed, we watched the dwindling power temporarily of Anglo-Saxon greatness. You remember there was a day when the armies of Britain were deep in the heart of Africa, where they rolled back the cannibal. And they introduced the avenues of civilization. There were days when in India, they were on the way of rolling back paganism, and law and order was established under the emblem of a great empire. There was a day when to the ends of the earth, your race was pushing. But where it came, it carried the great concept of civilization,
that achievement, if it had had the power then and the knowledge then that it now has in the hour when it had this vision in its mind. The other day I was reading over the memoirs of a captain in a British regiment in India. Why, they'd go out with a few hundred men and just roll 30,000 out of their way. They'd move in 10 men on an assignment to enforce the law and bring back the murderers of the assassins, surrounded by great numbers who had daggers in their belts, who had crossbows, who had all kinds of equipment. But you know, they had a determination that no one could stop them. They represented a great nation of the mighty kingdom of the white race. And they went out without fear, and the enemy and the darkness fell before them in fear. Let me tell you that there used to be a day when a white man could travel almost anywhere in the world, and even the enemy that might overtly try to kill him was worried about whether he could get away with it without the Queen or the President sending out the fleets of great nations to avenge his death. They're not afraid today. They're able to compute how many meals they're going to have, but how many of you they're there. You know why they don't fear? Because the thinking of a world order has been replacing the laws and the destiny and the concepts of God's kingdom in the minds of men. That's why I tell you that the knowledge of a new age, greater than your achievements of probing the areas of space, far greater, my friends, than your nuclear discoveries, greater than the application of the general field of sciences, must be a great spiritual awakening in the seat of human consciousness concerning the destiny which God has for them, the power of their society. You know, the new order is not going to be developed by the Christian nations supporting all of the pagans and idolaters on the face of the earth with heavy taxes on them. You know, a kingdom is administration. And if you turn here to the scriptures, instead of you plowing all the fields for the strangers are going to plow the fields so that they support themselves and you. Who ever heard of a kingdom that taxed itself to support the people it conquered? Did you ever hear that before? At this very moment, you stand in the highest hour of taxation with the greatest spendthrift economy in all history. And it is filled with people whose minds are not thinking in terms of the program of God's kingdom. I tell you tonight, it is unbiblical and it is unchristian for you to lay the burden on the backs of Christians to support pagans. I want you to know tonight that it's quite obvious that when the Congress of the United States, you know, it isn't the Senate keeps surrendering. The Congress fights for you. The Congress did pass a foreign aid bill, but they did wail over $800 million off of it the other day. And they did keep their hands on the power to appropriate, so they had a stranglehold on it every year. But after that transpired, and Mr. Kennedy said, "I'm aghast. You've cut back the foreign aid program. I can't save the world without it." Whoever told you he was going to save the world with it but a bunch of funny thinkers from Harvard? Now you want to know how wrong Mr. Eisenhower is? He comes crying out from his Pennsylvania farm, "Oh my, all Republicans, hear my voice. Rally around now and help the President put all this foreign aid back in the program. Or we can't win if we cut it out." Well, if you don't cut it out, you couldn't win. It just proves there is no difference between the way the advisors around Mr. Eisenhower think and the ones around Mr. Kennedy think. And don't worry, they got their pipeline right down to Pennsylvania and to Gettysburg that they used to have in the White House because they think his opinion is very important. Brainwashing. I look at a newspaper column and it talks about a man with a bunch of statues over in La Canada. Says he communes with the great. He's got a bunch of statues. And one of the statues that he bought up from some Jew's collection is one of Einstein, another one of Ben-Gurion, another one of Eisenhower,
all these statues, and it says he communes with the great. They're just trying to sell you on the idea that all these are great. Depends on whose side you're on. There isn't any doubt that Berengarian is a powerful Jew in the Jew program. There isn't any doubt that when we deal with Einstein, that he was one of the greatest fakers in the Jew program. He was enhanced with a greater understanding than anybody could prove he knew. And you know the great secret of that is you get out and value everybody by talking about something they don't understand, and they think that's profound. That's the way the Jew operates. Someone said, well, just because you don't understand what Einstein wrote, don't think what he didn't write was profound. I've read what Einstein wrote. It isn't a matter of understanding what he said. It's just the fact is that the things he said are not establishable that way. And all you had to do was make something work, and he could apply that unknown group of letters to what you did and say that I thought it out. Just as long as every one of the factors in your equation are unknown, and you don't have one given known, you can never claim the result. I looked at a textbook with 17 chapters of unknowns without one given known factor. Somebody said that was great. That, my friends, was like a little kid putting blocks together and then calling it mathematical, and you couldn't prove it because there wasn't any numbers on it. The only thing I point out to you, here was the newspaper. Every time they get a chance, they want to push these things off as great. Yes, there are great men. The great men belong to your race. They come out of the background of your biblical history. They rise up in the magnitude of the apostles after the incarnation of Christ. They carry down with great leaders that rose up in your race. They rise up in your own nation. It was great men, invincible with vision, that settled this land and saw within it great things that God inspired them to see. It rises up with great men like George Washington, Thomas Jefferson, and Benjamin Franklin, John Adams. It continues with great men that fill your history for the things which they would inspire to do in their time. It ends with great men in your day. There's no shortage of great men. But any man that doesn't have Christ in the center of his thinking is not a great man in my collection of vision. Again, what is important is that we understand that the ruler of the new age is Christ and his people. That Christ is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, is the ruler of the new age. And you must give a sense of that in your mind, and you must try to unseat every power that isn't synchronized with it. I want you to know tonight that you must, in your thinking, in your work, in your daily life, and in your vision, you must try to unseat and undercut every anti-Christian force that in your way is an obstacle from world administration. I talked to an evangelist for a few minutes who said to me, well, Dr. Swift, isn't our major program to try to get all the world to accept Christ and join the church? I said, in the first place, if you got all the world in the church, you'd ruin it. We've got too much of the world in it now. He said, what should we be preaching? I said, this is a new age. We should preach the thy kingdom come, thy will be done. We must preach and teach that we must rise to do his will. We must work at it night and day. It's not superstition. But I want you to know tonight that 10 men, 20 men, 30 men, 40 men, and it can grow and grow, committed to a vision and thinking with intensity and working to its testimony and charged with God's Spirit, can sell victory to a nation. I want you to know right now that an awakening in America is selling victory all over. I heard a well-known figure in an anti-communist rally last week. So did you. You were tuned in. This person said, I don't want to live under communism. I hope Khrushchev is listening to me now. And when communism comes in, I hope he shoots me first and then my four little girls, because they have faith in God. I don't want to live under communism. That's not the way you fight the devil. You don't stand up and say, I hope he's listening when he comes in, when he conquers, I hope he shoots me so I can go to heaven. Let me tell you, don't say if or when.
just make this clear. Khrushchev's not coming in. Communism's not going to rule. We're going to put it down and burn it up.
I had another clergyman troubled in his mind. You know why they get troubled in their mind? Because they're mentally sick. They've had to digest so much error, they're sick. This man said, "Dr. Swift, you mean that if it took the extermination of whole areas of Asia, Africa, and Russia, that we should advocate to push the lever? What about their immortal souls?" I said, "If you think their souls are immortal, what are you worrying about?" He said, "If you had a switch right here and could, with that switch, blast communism and all its agents from the earth, would you push it?" I said, "I'd push it twice." He says, "Oh, Dr. Swift, I wouldn't want that on my soul." I said, "I could take a glass of orange juice and go to sleep." Wake up! There's something in the earth that you've got to get out, that you've got to eradicate. The vision of a new age is building a new order, not, my friends, with the old, but upon something vital and new. The communist world is planning your annihilation. Don't wait for it. Eliminate it. God has raised up men with such undivided vision that in your time they've expended maybe their lives trying to accomplish it, and you're waking up to it. But I'm going to tell you this. You don't have to worry about what happens to them. There isn't a single consciousness that when God's ready, He can't resurrect. There isn't a single program that in God's mercy He doesn't reach. For He said that He's able to see that all flesh is saved. That all consciousness awakens. And that every knee shall bow and recognize that He's God. I know that. Why, He talked that over before any of us came here. We've just forgotten some of the things we've learned. Now don't grieve. Don't go out of here grieving now because the lever hasn't been pushed yet. Someone said, "Oh, if Dr. Swift wouldn't say some things like that." Well, my friends, that's the quickest way I know to eliminate them. I said, if there was a switch. But there isn't a switch. If there was a switch, we'd push it. And I'm going to tell you, God's got a switch and He's going to push it. And when He pushes that switch, the light and vitality and power that's going to descend on your race is the most unbelievable miracle of history. And the first thing you're going to do is eliminate the evil. It's not going to be done by a Sunday school parliament somewhere. It shows me Christ triumphantly riding at the seat of a great and mighty host. And even though the enemy in their attempt to destroy Him runs the blood to the horse's bits, I see peace and victory. It's not the unfortunate. It's those that in their hunger for power have ruled 1 hour with the beast. And God said the earth will not be ruled by the beast and is not going to be ruled by evil. A group of clergymen accosted me not so long ago, 3 of them, and they said, "Dr. Swift, there seems to be something different in the gospel that you and your people believe in. Instead of being defeated and have to have God take us out of the world to save us, it seems as though you have an idea that we're going to stay, we're going to win, we're not losing anything, we're going to achieve a great victory, that God's not going to lose anything, going to save everything, put everything in order." They said, "Where do you find it?" I said, "The Bible." Well, they said, "This is what we've been preaching." I said, "Where'd you find what you were preaching?" They said, "In the Bible." So I said, "All right, let's find it." In the course of the next 20 minutes, they couldn't find one passage to prove what they said they were preaching out of the Bible. And I could turn right over here to Daniel and it says, "The saints of the Most High God shall take the kingdom and possess the kingdom." Now I said, "When are you going to start?" You don't take the kingdom, my friends, with the UNESCO. These men thought for a moment on this. What do you want to preach, an invincible Christ or a defeated Christianity? So I tell you that this is salvation. You can not worry about whether Khrushchev can blow up Los Angeles. He can't hit you. You say, "Why?" Not a weapon formed against you shall prosper if you've got the faith to make God stand up behind that. Someone said the radiation will get me. The radiation won't break through the order. God will throw around you to protect you. Someone said you have to be careful when you attack the enemy. They're going to throw you in jail. I'm not going to throw anybody in jail. If the enemy moves out against the children of God's kingdom in this hour of spiritual catalyst, they'll drop dead when they reach for the sons of God. If you want to see what can happen, just remember when in the past it was tried, judges died. Remember when they tried to try Christians for sedition because they pointed out the truth in the days when the cabal was ruling? And you remember the judge died? They had to have all a mistrial and turn them all loose. When you stand up for God's kingdom and for what is ruling the earth, that's not sedition, that's patriotism. There are some miracles about to be performed. Great ones. But I say tonight that the greatest power that's in your possession is to release the thoughts of God in your consciousness and your thinking and to feed on them night and day, build up the remembrance of them, pile the electrons one upon another with the vision of God's purpose. See the great splendor of this book. I have some German friends who used to read Mein Kampf and they were thrilled with what they read. They saw a purpose for a building of a strong and solid Aryan state for the rolling back of the hordes of communism. They saw within it the possibilities of wars and struggles that they hoped wouldn't take place. Now I want to say, when I read this book and know this belongs to my family, this is my father's revelation, it's his battle, and this one thrills me more than any blueprint I have ever seen for the world. I don't see one single opportunity for the enemy to claim defeat for over us, or victory over us, defeat for us. If you want a positive book, if you want to know where you're going, here's the greatest battle of God's people to achievement and victory on the face of the earth. It's prophets, it's blueprints, the testimony of Christ himself and the assurance which he gave John in Revelation are added up to the achievement of your society, ruling in glory, majesty, and divine splendor. In a world basked in light, without hunger, without sickness, without disease, who shall learn everything good at thy feet? It's a big task. It reaches into tomorrow. Someone said, I'd like to see what's out and beyond. I want to travel through space. I'd like to reach the moon. You probably won't have to wait too long for that. You can move all around in space if you want to, but I am challenged by the unfinished job in the earth. I've been out there, and so have you. It's what we have yet to do unfinished here. If you want the knowledge of a new age, then find out what God's plan for the earth. Work for it, conquer with it, and build with it. When you go out of here tonight, just keep in your mind this realization: I must live into the new age. I challenge death, and I challenge all the powers of darkness, and I adjure them to stay away. I claim all the light and power and glory and victory that's mine through Christ, through his atonement, through his resurrection. I claim all of the power that belongs to a spiritual son of God in the earth, and I call for victory. And then I think the thing to do is to go after it. I want to just get this across to you tonight as you go. Your spiritual empowering and your soul thinking must be translated into earth victory. That's what you're here for. Every knowledge God pours upon you, every spiritual revelation. I talked to a person this morning who said, I am interested in the spiritual. The only important thing would be is the spirit. I said, yes, and the reason why you're here is to do it in the earth. The only important thing to me at this hour is to translate this power into victory. We urge you to recognize this. It is by this sign we conquer, and it shall be done. We want you to look out over what's going on. You have power, and you must turn every thinking motion of it against every foolish strategy that moves out of Washington. You and people who are listening to this tape are awakening or in knowledge. We don't want Mr. Kennedy to meet Mr. Khrushchev at Berlin and then acquiesce to his demands. We don't want a surrender of Christian people. We don't want a deal. We want the evacuation of red hordes out of the peoples of the nations of Europe. That's what we want. We want to see the powers of righteousness prevail. We want to see Christian civilization remain strong. And if we must resist the enemy to do this, this is what we want. We don't want this nation steered by Mr. Tito. You know, of all the fantastic pieces of funny thinking in the world, your government gave 200 airplanes or sold them to Tito in this last few weeks. They consummated it, $17,200 a piece. Well, you can't even recondition them for that. Each one of them a jet fighter bomber. And you gave them to Tito, who said, when the fight comes, I'll fight with Russia. Can you figure that out? It's better to scrap them if you don't want them than to give them to an enemy. And don't you think for a moment that any part of the communist world isn't your enemy. These are the things that you've got to resist, that you've got to spread, that you've got to call for a reckoning and see that America is administered by spiritually awakened sons.